For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
He's got all the insight of what you want to know and maybe some of what you don't want to know. Here's K-State insider Tim Fitzgerald.
All right, and welcome in, everybody. We are kicking off hour number two here of Sports Daily with our K-State insider, Tim Fitzgerald. Glad to be here with you. This portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. You can get out there, play a little golf, and watch the K-State game. Maybe this weekend it'll actually be on too late. But you can get out there and watch a lot of college football, NFL football at the restaurant. We appreciate Crestview's support. Get out there, give them a call. Fitz, welcome in. Welcome into the pupper there as well on the video stream. We've got dual efforts here at the Fitz household. You can watch us, by the way, on that video stream. 12 News Connected, Facebook, YouTube X. Fitz, look, we're 3 weeks in, and it's been exactly what you want to see, I think, from K-State. Growth of the two young stars. They're 3-0. They get into Big 12 play. You feel good about the way they're playing football. And it's going to be a test this week. They got to go to a tough place and play a team that's also 3-0 that looks like they're pretty good.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, look at the progression of this season. They had the early game against UT Martin. And they had a real test that they didn't expect, and I think they're better for that. And we saw that against Arizona. So now you get to go on a road in a really daunting environment. Should be a lot of fun. But this is a nice step. For this team, you win this and you come home to play Oklahoma State, and what will be a huge contest. What you can't let happen is that you're enjoying Arizona and looking forward to Oklahoma State, and you forget the step in the middle. So we'll see if they're attentive to details as this game opens late Saturday night.
When you were on with us a week ago, Fitz, we talked about, I think I called it the Dylan Edwards problem, about trying to find ways to get him more touches. And I mean, he absolutely made the most of the times that he had the ball against Arizona, including that punt return. It's a good problem to have when you have all that talent on the field. But it does look like, at least from what I saw against Arizona, that Coach Klieman has found a really good way to incorporate Edwards more into the game plan, both offensively and with special teams, to where he can make a significant impact, and it doesn't really do any harm to either DJ Giddens or Avery Johnson.
No, you're exactly right. They did use him more. It might not show necessarily up in the stats, but Arizona was biting on him pretty hard. So a lot of those run options, Avery would keep the ball. So we saw the effect of that. So just putting him on the field, particularly with Giddens and Avery Johnson, just stresses a defense to the point where they can't cover at all. And someone's going to make a wrong decision. And if Avery makes the right decision where to put the ball, and they haven't even layered in a pass out of that formation yet, it's going to be a really effective tool going forward, because it doesn't matter if you scouted it. You still got to figure it out in the moment. And they're really good at that.
I mean, he's scoring touchdowns on about, I think, 25% of his touches right now.
Yeah.
And the touches are going to go. And I, quite frankly, I think they've used Dylan just about perfectly up to this point. I think they're doing exactly what they need to do with him, because we want to see this offense rev up as it goes. And it is revving up, and we're seeing growth out of the young players. So be an interesting test, though, Fitz. for the defense. That look, the defense answered some questions, I think, in that game. The secondary wasn't perfect. They couldn't stop McMillan. There's a lot of teams that can't stop McMillan. It was much better than the Tulane game. They were really good against the run in Arizona. They better be really good against the run against BYU, because yeah, that's pretty much all they do, right? Like, this will be the good test for the other side of that defense, I think.
Well, you know, BYU does a good job, Jake Ratzlaff, their quarterback, of getting the ball around the field. But he's a very effective runner. Now, they're down to their fourth or fifth running back, so that's dented their running plans quite a bit. But I am impressed by how good those guys are, you know, in relation to where they are on a depth chart. But I think this BYU offense will be a good test. And the key for this defense is to win those third downs, which it started doing the last 2.5 quarters against Arizona. That's always a key, but this is going to be the point of emphasis for this team on the defensive side of the ball, is getting teams off the field. And once they do that, they give the ball back. They have to punt it to Dylan Edwards, and then they have to put the ball in the hands of Avery Johnson. So I think that's essential, just to be efficient on third down, which means you got to be pretty good on second down too.
I know coming off the Tulane game, Fitz, the major defensive concern was the secondary and the way that they played against Tulane. And we talked about it a week ago that Arizona did pose, you know, a pretty significant threat with McMillan and just everything that they wanted to do in throwing the football, Arizona did. How did you think that the K-State secondary responded? I know McMillan is a talent and he got his. There's no doubt about it. But did you feel like you saw a better showing from the secondary overall? I know BYU likes to run the ball, but moving forward, especially further into Big 12 play, they're going to be playing a lot of teams that, you know, want to air it out a lot.
Yeah. Arizona, you know, has probably the best quarterback receiver combination in college football. And I thought their plan on Fafita and T-Mac was really interesting, to let him get his, but don't let him get extra after the catch. And that's what they did pretty consistently. I think he had one play where he started to wiggle loose and they got him down to the ground. So 11 catches, but not hardly any after the catch damage. And that's really what they were after. And they continued to squeeze that pocket. And that's been the real key. The back end's been good in the last game. After the breakdowns at Tulane, they seemed to really learn some lessons. And we saw that with Keenan Garber's incredible interception, as he broke off of T-Mac himself to go have a coverage in zone and took care of it. But if this team keeps progressing, keeps squeezing the pocket on quarterbacks, which they need to do, Ratzlaff's more of a runner, so they have to worry about that. It's going to be hard for opposing offenses to operate.
Well, and it is, you know, we've seen BYU and what they want to do for so long, Fitz, and you bring up a good point about the injuries for them at running back. And, you know, the weird thing about their offense, and I don't know what to make of this for the test for K-State, Retzloff's throwing it more now. He threw it almost 40 times in the game against Wyoming. So they're going to throw it, but you said he spreads the ball around. I it's like 15 different receivers in that game, but they ran it with five different guys too. Like, that's what's wild. Like, it's not, they're going to, it, like, how do you, it, when you play Arizona, it was very clear who their best player is, right? McMillan is an NFL wide receiver. He's a stud. But it was so funneled to him in that game. What did he have? He had like 15 targets, whereas BYU has like 15 different guys catching the ball. It feels like this will be a totally different test for K-State. Whether BYU chooses to run or to throw, there's going to be a ton of guys involved offensively.
Yeah, and I think that is an indication that K-State will probably spend a lot of this game in their base 3-3-5 just to try to cover everything. They're really good in that base. They've got usages for a four-man front, which they might slide into in certain situations. You know, I don't think we'll see them going nickel or dime much. Well, they are in nickel, but keep those three safeties out there. I think this is going to be kind of a back-to-basics, do-your-job type of game. And honestly, that's what they had in Tulane, and they didn't do great with it.
So,
we'll see how they handle this. But they don't do anything fancy. They just do stuff well. And this BYU team is getting back to being physical, because they weren't physical enough last season.
You know, it's interesting, Fitz, that this is a matchup between two teams that it's not like they have played a lot of football against each other historically. The Wildcats going out to Provo, it's a late night game, Big 12 after dark, you know, so something that is a little bit different where, you know, back home, what kickoff is at 9:30 p.m. on Saturday night, so it's going to be a late night game. How much of that do you think the program thinks about, you know, as they're prepping for this game, going into that environment in Provo? BYU fans, they typically show up there, and it can get weird when it's a late game like that. Is that something that goes through their minds in preparation, or is it more about we just focus on what we can do in the moment in the game plan?
Yeah, I think it's got to be that. I mean, they're doing some physical preparations through their medical staff with altitude. Trying to prepare for that. But, I mean, what are you going to do in Kansas? Go to Mount Sunflower? I mean, that doesn't really change the altitude that much. So you just have to kind of fight through that, fight through the time. The time's the biggest challenge. I mean, your body clock's your body clock. And granted, these are young guys, but they're not used to playing football at midnight, and they will be. So it's going to be very interesting to see how K-State responds, because there are a bunch of challenges built into one game, but none of them are significant, but they put together, they are. BYU is so good at night at home. It's a whiteout. It's going to be, they of course pulled out the 96 throwbacks when they beat K-State in the Cotton Bowl. K-State will also be wearing their throwbacks. They just happen to be the same uniforms. It's going to be a very entertaining game and a great environment. I haven't looked forward to going on the road to a school like this probably since West Virginia joined the conference, so it's fun to have a new destination.
Wait, you're going, Fitz?
Of course I'm going. They've got a special cougar tail, which is a giant donut thing covered in honey maple and
so,
vanilla.
Listen,
yeah, I'm going.
When was the last time? You're not going to, you know, the party capital of the world here.
No.
When was the last time Fitz stayed up past midnight without a party involved?
Oh, crap. This might be the greatest question ever asked in sports radio. I'm going to have to get with my agent.
You know what I mean? Like,
my attorney, like, legal counsel.
Yeah, like it's easy to stay up to midnight when you got a party, but you're going to Utah. Like, I don't know that the sugar's going to be enough.
I'm prepared to announce this. Please don't tell anyone in Provo or associated with the church. I'll be smuggling massive amounts of caffeine into the press box.
Okay.
It'll be an amazing effort. I'll have them in my armpits and other places I'm not going to talk about, but I'm getting a lot of caffeine into that press box, and I'm just going to pour it in my eyes when I get tired. That should wake me up.
Just put it somewhere they won't look, where they won't check, and you'll be safe. back to the football here. Avery ran it 17 times against Arizona. That's exciting because he's really good at football and running the ball. I don't know that the coaches look at this and would enjoy knowing that Avery was going to run the ball 17 times a game.
I think he did a really good job of picking up first downs and getting the heck out of bounds.
He is good at that. I agree.
Yeah. I mean, and that's such an important part of your offense. Play doesn't work. You leave the quarterback a little bit too much room. He runs and picks it up. We see it with Mahomes and the Chiefs quite a bit. And wisely, I got the sticks. I'm stepping out. That extra yard isn't worth it. What I saw before this last game is I thought he was just not even paying attention to the sticks and getting out of bounds. But now he'll put his shoulder down if he needs that extra yard. And maybe it was the magnitude of the game. A lot of that wasn't necessarily designed runs. It was either a scramble or a read where they were trying to take away DJ Giddens and Dylan Edwards. And that's the thing. You got to pick your poison, and it's all poison. So they couldn't stop Avery, and that's what Arizona gave them. This week it might be DJ. It might be Dylan Edwards. But as long as those three guys are on the field, K-State is very tough to match up with.
We talked about it a week ago, Fitz, about how good the Wildcats pass rush has been through the first three games of the season. I mean, it's been really the cornerstone of the defense. And, you know, you're taking on, when you take on a team like Arizona with Fifita back there, they were able to get after him, not unlike they were able to do in their first two games. With a team like BYU, when they are more than likely going to lean on the run, can that pass rush still find ways to be disruptive, even if the offense attack is not quite what we've seen from the other three teams?
Yeah, a lot of it comes out of situational substitutions where they've got you in third and long, second and long, and they suspect you're going to put the ball in the air, and they bring in guys like Toby Osunsami and get after the quarterback. But Brendan Mott out of the base has done an incredible job. He's been really disruptive. He's been the best he's ever been, and he's been pretty good in the past, along with Austin Romaine coming on the blitz from middle linebacker. So this defense just kind of attacks you and doesn't necessarily need special formations to do so, but they're capable of doing that.
Fitz, we just were talking with our betting insider. He liked K-State in the line. I kind of do too, but the over under on this game, which has given me kind of a hard time to just get a feel for, it's like 48. Yeah. You know, K-State didn't get there last week. BYU didn't get there last week. If we think these two teams are going to run the ball, and I think that they probably will, do you see this game getting into a track meet, or do you feel like it's going to sort of slog out a little bit?
Yeah, I don't see it being a track meet. As much as K-State's offense can score quickly and rack up stats, that's not the brand of football they necessarily want to play. Like, they're not going to turn down the touchdown, but they'd prefer that offense to grind a little bit and keep the defense resting on the side, because that's really the key to getting into a shootout. It's not that you scored quickly and they score quickly. It's the defenses get tired, they never get rested, and the offenses are at an advantage throughout the game. That's not a brand of football K-State wants to play. It's a brand of football I think this team is built to win. But if the game devolves into that, I think they feel like they're equally suited to have a shootout with teams now with all these weapons.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't know if I want to bet the under yet. I got to think about that.
I know.
I'll be across. I'm going to not be in Utah, but I'll also be across state lines, probably with a little better behavior than I would typically on a college football Saturday. So I got to make that decision in the next 24 hours or so before I get across the border. Fitz, tell the puppy we said hi.
Yeah, I don't know. He had his little hit, and then he's just always on break. He's taking a break.
Listen, the divas here. We appreciate it. Enjoy Utah. We'll need a full report on that experience, a late night in Utah, when we talk to you next week. Also,
yeah. Well, they're going to give me ice cream and pastries, and I mean, if Utah was a conversion van, I'd get in that thing. I'd get in that thing and let you take me wherever you want.
Yeah, no, easy to bribe. I hear you. Oh, by the way, Fitz, gopowercat.com. What do you guys have up ahead of that game?
Man, PowerCat pregame podcast released at midnight. That's available if anyone needs a nice deep dive into this game with me and my guys. I think they do a great job. We've got the Friday walkthrough coming at midnight tonight. We've got our regular game coverage, the written stuff, all going up at Go PowerCat. You know, we're doing about 6-7 content items of K-State sports a day. So get on over to Go PowerCat and check it out.
There you go. You can also follow Fitz at Life of Fitz. Enjoy the trip, Fitz. We'll talk again next week.
Thank you, boys. Great to see you.
There goes Tim Fitzgerald. Listen, it's going to be an experience getting out there to Utah. Like, it'll be a test. I don't know. I'm having a hard time with it, Tommy, a little bit. Like, I think stylistically, I see it lower scoring. I think, right? But it's just K-State to me, KU has been more predictable. We'll put it that way, as far as style of a game. K-State, to me, still feels a little bit unpredictable. I don't know what the identity of their offense is yet. And that's not a bad thing. I think it's a good thing, in fact, because I think they have a lot of strengths. But I still can't, like, wrap my head around what this offense will be in week 8. You know what I mean? Like, what do they look like then when they're doing what they want to do?
Well, because it's so multifaceted with so many different weapons that you can go a few different directions.
And maybe it never does. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
And I do think that having kind of that Swiss Army knife mentality, you know, hey, if you need Avery Johnson to tuck it and run, he can. If you're going to do a design play with one of those two running backs, you can do that too, or even a design run with him, Johnson himself, or air the ball out and use one of those guys in the backfield as, you know, potentially an additional pass catcher. We haven't talked a ton about the wide receivers for K-State over the last couple of weeks. Jace Brown had a really good game against Arizona on Friday night, so those guys have I think stepped up, and I think in Fitz and I, we talked about it during the offseason leading up to the year, that wide receiver room, while it lost a couple of key contributors like Phillip Brooks and others from a season ago, they might be more talented this season overall than they were a year ago. So that obviously adds to it as well. Of course, you know, it's always hard to replace a tight end like Ben Sinnott. The tight ends, you know, situation probably is taking a step back slightly, but overall, there are so many different weapons offensively that they can utilize.
I do think, I meant to ask Fitz this, I do think we are seeing Avery Johnson get more comfortable as a thrower. And that's a part of what makes it unpredictable too. Like 17 rushes doesn't feel like something that's going to happen every week. Maybe more like 10, right? But it's what is it when it, like the second half against Arizona, he started to groove a little bit as a passer. And that's the other part. Like as that development comes, what does that look like? K-State will play that late game, and you'll hear it right here on KFH, your home of Wildcat Athletics. All right, we've had back-to-back guests. We're going to catch our breath a little bit with all of this. We'll come back. It's open phones the rest of the way for you here, 869-1240 on the IHOP hotline. And let's set up our giveaway right now. We'll give away some HTO iced tea, more than 20 flavors to choose from of sweet and unsweet iced tea, and some coffee drinks for you, hot and iced, all the great flavors, all the traditional ones, plus some special exclusives to HTO. All you got to do to win is text the keyword TEA to the short code 20357. That's T to 20357. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. These will be good for any of the three Wichita Metro locations. Good luck, everybody. We'll be back more Sports Daily with Albrock and Castor right after this.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. Glad to be with you on this Thursday edition of the program. K-State football, we were just talking with Tim Fitzgerald, is available for free all season long here on KFH and on the Odyssey app. Tune in to 97.5 and 1240 at 6 o'clock tonight for the Chris Kleiman Show. That's just ahead of Thursday night football. Good night of programming here tonight for you. You can also find it all, of course, by simply downloading the Odyssey app and searching for KFH. It's been a crazy week for football. We've had all the injuries that pertain to the Chiefs here locally, all the stuff with KU football and Jalen Daniels. KU right now is one of the most fascinating stories to follow. What happens there? Can it be salvaged? Because again, the reality is, you start from zero. Like, this is it. Like, you know, if you can salvage it and you start to salvage it now, everything's fine. We've heard rock bottom type comments from Grimes. Grimes is switching up his placement and he's going up to the booth. Shreyas Lotta, we had yesterday, kind of talking about a lot of the things that we've talked about this week and where do you turn and what can you change and what can you do. And you know, he's talked to coaches. We mentioned nothing seems to be physical with Jalen Daniels. I don't know, but I know it needs to be fixed. And the tone of that game will be a fascinating one. How tight is KU playing? We could be having some of the same conversations and issues, Tommy, and they could be 3-0, right? Like that's what's crazy. Now, would that really change anything? I don't know that it would all that much. It doesn't like change the path or the outcome. The problems would still be the same problems if they have a couple of unlucky plays go their way. I don't want to say it's a good thing because it's obviously not a good thing. But any issues they have are being forced into the front right now early in the season. And it's just a matter of how quickly they can get it fixed.
I guess the one glass half full mentality that you can take with this whole thing is at least they're figuring it out now, or at least trying to, through three weeks, as opposed to in November or, God forbid, December. You know, this is something that through three games, the expectations have not been met. Those expectations were very clearly laid out before the season started. Lance Leipold talked multiple times in the offseason about the expectations of this particular team this season and what he felt like their ceiling was and where he felt like he wanted to take them. And through three games, they haven't really come close to that, to be honest. And I think that what makes it so much more frustrating and probably why Jayhawk fans everywhere are just overly irritable about all of this is it was one thing when the team was really bad and you knew they were really bad and you didn't really have high hopes. You've seen enough of these players so many different times win and win at a higher level than really ever before, at least in the last decade and a half, that you begin to set some higher expectations. That's completely fair, completely normal. The fan base does it. The coaching staff does it. And I know that there's been, you know, probably some internal friction going on as they're trying to work their way through this. It's kind of been alluded to a few different times from, you know, whether it's the coaching staff with each other, coaching staff to players, players with each other, players back to the coaching staff, whatever it is. There's friction there, but it's growing pains with a new offensive coordinator. They've got to figure it out sooner rather than later. That's the key. It's not about whether or not they ever will, because I do think that they will, because Lance Leipold is too good of a coach. It can't continue. It can't take multiple weeks in the future to get it all worked out. You've got to get it handled now.
I think the quarterback position is always under a microscope. And I've tried to imagine, like, what if KU was 1-2 because their defense sucked, but Jalen Daniel was playing well? I think it would be a very different vibe. I think the reason there is panic, one of the biggest reasons there is panic, is because people are concerned, and I think it's a valid concern, that Jalen Daniels is not the same player. Because everything has ridden on that being the case, right? Like, that is the biggest part of this season, is that you have all of this and he's finally back, right? And he has fallen so flat. I think that has been what's added to the desperation, because people in the back of their head or in the front of their head now are like, what if he's not back? Then what happens with this team? But again, the glass half full thing for me is that the defense has been really good, like really good. So it's changed. And I think they can reinvent themselves. They can, but they have to do it right now, right? They have to do it now. And it's a collective effort. It is a combination of Grimes and Daniels figuring something out, or something changing in that combination, obviously. But if they can stay motivated and they can continue to play good defense, like, it's what's so annoying about it is the two losses haven't allowed them room to grow, right? Like, you haven't allowed it. But over the course of a season, if they evolved into a run heavy team that played good defense, you'd feel good about it in the growing pit, but you've lost these two games. But again, you start from zero now. It doesn't really matter. Look, good for you. And I was guilty of this. I was wrong. Like, was KU ever going to be an at-large team, which meant they were probably going to have one or fewer losses this year? Probably not.
I don't know. I mean, I think that there was the thought that they could, with their schedule, they could run the table and get in there as an at-large.
Yeah, yeah. That was probably foolish, but an optimist's take on things. And again, I was the one pushing that and hoping for it. It is far more realistic that their chance was always to win the Big 12. After everything we've seen, I mean,
explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one!
Or draft pick number one!
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I am not of the belief that they have no shot at that. And I know, like, Saturday night late and Sunday morning, that was the or Saturday morning, I guess, late Friday night, that was the sentiment from, honestly, just about every Jayhawk fan I've talked to a ton because I want to try to get the feel for this thing. But I don't think that's the reality yet. I think they still have an advantageous schedule. I think they have things happening for them that can lead you to a lot of wins. And does that mean they just have to be the second best regular season team in the league? Like, that's what they have to do. So could you see the run happening with two losses? Yeah, I think you still could. Again, the problems that we've talked about ad nauseum have to be fixed for that to occur, but it's not off the table for them to make it through the Big 12 schedule with two or fewer losses. It's not off the table at all.
Yeah, I mean, just going through their schedule, I mean, you would think that the home game against TCU next weekend should be a win at Arrowhead. It should be.
We can call it that still for now.
On the road at Arizona State should be a win in early October. Houston, I think, you know, all conventional wisdom tells you that should be a win in the middle of October, although Houston did hang with Oklahoma just a couple of weeks ago. So that, I mean, who knows? You know, from there, Colorado at home, Baylor on the road, both in late November, those should be wins. That basically leaves you with the game this weekend on the road at West Virginia, and they're a pesky team, especially in Morgantown. It leaves you with on the road in Manhattan against Kansas State in late October, at home against Iowa State, and on the road at BYU. Those would be the four games. And in any of them, obviously in the Big 12, can, you know, jump up and bite you. But right, those would be the four that I would circle as going to, you know, probably the toughest tests remaining on the schedule for the Jayhawks.
Let's not even look at it big, but let's chop it in half. Let's just look at the first four. At West Virginia, at Arizona State are your two road games. TCU and Houston are your two home games. I would tell you right now, and I know they're not favored, they're dogs on the road at West Virginia. KU, even if KU is not what we thought they'd be, they should be good enough to be 4-0 after four games.
They need to go 4-0 in these next four games.
They have to. They have to, or they're not going to do this. So, like, that you can look at it that way. And does that seem so far out of reach? No, it doesn't. That seems very attainable if they are just marginally better throwing the football, just a tiny bit better throwing the football, right? They could be 4-0. Let's just stop there for now, because after that, it does get dicier, right? At Kansas State, at BYU, at Baylor. At this point right now, you'd look at those and be like, I don't know that those are games they can win. At home against Iowa State is tough. Colorado's a wild card. So you don't look at any of the last five, because I think they're all coin flips at best and worse than that at worst. So just start with the first four. If they can get through the first four and they're 4-0 and they're playing a little better, throwing the ball, their passing game has found itself a little bit, then we can kind of start the conversation over again, right? Because again, it could be 3-0. If they don't have a couple of really at least 2-1, you think about the last blown coverage play of the first half against UNLV and the fumble thing. Like, those are fluky things. Illinois may be a little bit different, but even if it was 2-1, we probably aren't having these conversations. And the reality is, it doesn't really matter if they win or lose those games. Only thing that matters is they play better, and they have to throw the ball better, and they have to stop turning the ball over and let their defense win them games. How do you do that? You don't turn the dang ball over. That's how you let a defense win you a game.
Yeah, what's crazy is I don't know if you follow at all the ESPN SP Plus rankings. And everybody has these different sites have these predictive rankings on where these teams are as far as a bunch of different factors. The ESPN SP Plus rankings that they call predictive and forward facing, as of now, even as of this day after the UNLV loss a week ago, has Kansas as the number 30 team in America. It gives them the number 29 offense and the number 26 offense and the number 49 defense. So they're still putting the Kansas offense.
And again, that's predictive.
That's predictive, right? But it's still putting the Kansas offense fairly high in the country despite the turnovers. And you know, so kind of breaking that down and you know, interpreting what that means, to me, my interpretation of that is that all in all, the offense, everything combined, not just the passing game, but you add in the running game, you add in everything offensively, is fairly efficient. It's pretty effective, but again, they've turned the ball over. And so those turnovers, killed every single opportunity. But
I think it's also predicting what it should be, right?
Correct.
Like it's like what it is when it's right, and it's not right now.
Yeah.
And that's why I think Jalen, like, there was a point going into this season where it's like, okay, Jalen Daniels coming off a back injury, got to protect him. I think that's out the window. Jalen Daniels with his legs, and he's never been a runner, but he can do it, needs to become a part of it, has to become a part of it, because there's a chance, and probably a pretty decent one, that the guys behind him are not ready, which I get that. But you can't keep running that out there either. So what can you do? You can make Jalen Daniels a different player. If he's not the same kind of thrower, and he hasn't been, then make him a runner. And now he still is a better option, right? Like, okay, like if we're not going to throw the ball well, let's run the ball, because we do have Devin Neal and Hyshaw. And the same thing that's making K-State successful with Giddens and Edwards and Johnson can be replicated with Kansas, with Daniels, with Hyshaw, and with Neal.
Yeah, assuming that Daniel Hyshaw is able to go this weekend. I've not gotten an update
big picture.
It's crazy. So there's a website, and I'm lifting all this information from social media, but there's a website, collegefootballdata.com. They do a bunch of analysis on every college football game. They do something called a post-game win expectancy. They take the entire body of work from the game that just finished, they put it all together, and they tell you who should have won the game based on all the different factors. In the UNLV game, it gave Kansas a 99% chance to win. That's despite the coaching and the quarterback play. Now, ultimately, the coaching and the quarterback play led to the loss. But despite all of that, it still gave the Jayhawks a 99% chance to win that game in spite of the issues that they ran into. So, again, you get into Big 12 play, it's going to be different competition than UNLV. It's going to be even different competition than probably Illinois. So, you know, those percentages are probably not going to be that high.
What makes it, yeah.
But at the same time, that I think that's what has fueled this frustration so heavily,
right,
is that these are games that absolutely they should have won. They were the better team. Everybody in that stadium at Children's Mercy Park on Friday knew that Kansas was the better team than UNLV. That's what makes it so frustrating.
It was the same thing against Illinois. They've so clearly been better, but they have made these mistakes. And so that's why I don't want to punt on this. That's why I think it's urgency that needs to be inserted right this second. If the current thing isn't working, this team is still better, is still good. Make some sort of change to fix it. Grimes going up to the booth is probably a bigger deal than we want to joke about, because these things matter to who's in Jalen Daniels' ear, familiarity, comfort levels, all those things. And at the end of the day, the bottom line is Daniels has to be a better thrower of the football. But maybe not throw it as often as we thought he was going to. Evolve. Run the ball. He's an effective runner when he does it. He hasn't always needed to, because he's such an accurate and effective passer. He ain't that right now. And I don't know what's going to change about that immediately. It'd be great. Look, I hope he comes out and throws 70%, doesn't throw any picks, throws two touchdowns, and is this highly efficient passer we've always known Jalen Daniels to be. But that doesn't feel likely yet. So just run the ball. With him too. Change what you do offensively. Completely throw everything else out the window and change it. You can go beat West Virginia in West Virginia. My goodness. Like, Kansas's expectation this year, they got first place votes to win the Big 12. You can go on the road and beat West Virginia, even as an underdog. Don't even care. There's a very high chance that Kansas is more talented than West Virginia is this year.
Real quick story. So almost a decade ago, I had the opportunity to go with the KU team. And this was back during the David Beatty era. I went with them on the team plane to Morgantown. They played at West Virginia. I had never been to West Virginia before, never been to Morgantown. That's the only time I've ever gone. I'm pretty sure the Jayhawks lost by about 40 that night. And, you know, credit to the West Virginia fans. Like, they were rockets. I know that there is a little bit of discontent going on with that program right now, with their head coach and what might transpire moving forward. I've heard that, you know, if things get rough this weekend against the Jayhawks, there could be some uproar there in Morgantown. It's a hostile place to go and play. I know I've been there before myself. It's going to be a fun atmosphere on Saturday.
And KU's got to go win the game. Just go do it. Go do it and wipe all this clean. They're 1-0 in the Big 12, another impressive performance. We will not care what happened to UNLV and Illinois. Like, it will be a fresh start. So we'll see if they can do it. That does college football. We're going to come back. We're going to preview the Chiefs a little bit when we return. We got sound from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes yesterday. They talked about the addition of Kareem Hunt. I thought it was interesting, the things that they said about Kareem Hunt. And we'll discuss that on the other side. It's all Brockton Castor. The IHOP hotline's open for you the rest of the way. 869-1240. Don't go anywhere. We'll come back. More Sports Daily right after this.
Dude, you gotta hear this. Hear this.
Go ahead. I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily here with you on a Thursday. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster, alongside Jad Chambers, is producing things for us. If you've missed anything on the Odyssey app today, you can always go back and listen to it, excuse me, with us. It's great podcast opportunity, too. You can just go back and check out the show, not just ours either. On the Odyssey app, there are tons and tons and tons of shows and great programming on there for you. You can leave us voice messages there. There's a little microphone. You just push it and join that way. But we appreciate you however it is that you take in the show. Also on these video streams, 12 News Connected, Facebook, YouTube X. The Chiefs yesterday talked about Kareem Hunt. First time we heard from Andy Reid, from Patrick Mahomes since they added Kareem Hunt. A couple of things became clearer. I think... at least the people in the locker room have a good relationship with Kareem Hunt. After everything that's happened now 6 years ago, we know the Chiefs are a second chance team as far as players go, especially guys who have been a part of it. Andy Reid talked about how close Patrick Mahomes and Kareem Hunt are. They came in the same class. Kareem Hunt was at his wedding. They've stayed in touch. I think Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are two examples of people who want the best for people, even when they made mistakes. So that part of it is pretty easy, I think, for them to swallow. I thought what was interesting is how Andy Reid described Hunt. I've been the believer, and I still am, that Kareem Hunt's best days are far, far behind him. And if we see him in a significant role at any point for this team on Sundays, it will be not a good thing because it's meant Carson Steele / Samaje Perine has not been enough. I still think that Carson Steele and Samaje Perine can be enough, hopefully will be enough. And I know people want to discount Carson Steele, but again, I would remind you, Pacheco basically was presented this same opportunity as a seventh round pick in his rookie year and thrived in it. I don't see any reason that Carson Steele couldn't do the same thing because he reminds us of Isaiah Pacheco in the style of football that he plays, which is the style of runner that this offense is built around. That's why he's on this roster. But I do think when we heard from Andy Reid, he's talking about ramping Kareem Hunt. He's he's probably going to be a factor to some degree. And I think it really comes down to what Carson's, and maybe it's just depth still. But if you ask me who I think is more likely in 2-3 weeks to be a factor, Clyde Edwards-Helaire or Kareem Hunt, I would say at this point, I'd probably say Kareem Hunt. And how big a factor, I guess, is the question. But I've got confidence in Carson Steele. Isaiah Pacheco's a really good player. But man, we liked Carson Steele for a reason, and he's on this roster for a reason, and it's really one reason only, and it's because he is a bulldozer, hard-headed runner that can do exactly what the Chiefs need their running back to do. Is he the kind of pass catcher Isaiah Pacheco is? Time will tell. Can he handle pass blocking and assignments? Time will tell. But as far as just running the ball, which this team needs to do, he can do that. He should be able to do that. So that part of it, I think, doesn't change. But when you hear Andy Reid talking about yesterday, if you have a chance to listen to it, that gave me a feeling that it probably Hunt's going to be a factor of some kind. At whose disposal, I guess, becomes the question for me. Does he take significant work away from Steele and Perine, or does he just slide in as basically, and I think they added like Keontae Irving. That's probably a short-term thing. Like, does he slide into that third back role and get 3-4 touches a game? Maybe. Can he come in late in a game and strictly be a pass catcher and pass blocker? That could happen, but we got to remember, Samaje Perine, they acquired, has been one of the, not just good, he's been one of the best pass catching running backs in football the last few years. Like, that's his thing, and he does it really, really well. So keep that in mind. But Kareem Hunt, I think the sound was pretty, like, they're pretty intent, I think, on making him some part of the offense. We'll see to how much and to what degree. But it's the Carson Steele show, I would imagine, this week, and I hope he thrives in it because he's a fun player to watch. For the same reasons Isaiah Pacheco's a fun player to watch. We like their style. All right, we'll come back. We'll tell you what's on the network today. We'll put a bow on it here, Sports Daily. Don't go away.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.